Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That is 603-283-6160. We actually have a caller on the line, but with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and Nikki.
And let's just go right to the phone calls and thoughts, because this is a call-in talk radio show, and you can call 603-283-6160, bring up whatever is on your mind, or comment on what we're talking about, change the subject, it doesn't matter. But we have Jeremy on the line with us. Jeremy, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Australia.
Nice.
Near the Gold Coast in Australia.
Oh, excellent.
You're the morning show here. It's 9:10 in the morning, so...
Oh, great. So we're a morning show somewhere. So you're putting work in over at TikTok for Free Talk Live, making shorts for us. What did you want to tell us about that?
I've been doing that for a few months and finally starting to get the followers up. They've actually doubled in the last few days to just over 500. But we need to get to 1,000 so that the show can actually be broadcast live on TikTok every day. So we just need to double it once more. So everybody listening that has TikTok, whether you love the show or you hate the show, it doesn't matter. The algorithm doesn't care. Please go over to TikTok to @FreeTalkLive and follow Free Talk Live. And we'll get even if TikTok gets banned in America, we'll still at least be able to go live on TikTok around the rest of the world.
I hope that doesn't happen, but yes, that it doesn't get banned in America, I mean. But yes, I do hope that anybody listening will subscribe to us on TikTok. It's just @FreeTalkLive. No one had taken that when I made it. It's @FreeTalkLive, and Jeremy is completely in control of it, makes his own shorts, and I really appreciate that.
So what is the content on there, Jeremy? Is it just like clips of the show?
Yeah, you're on there all the time.
Cool.
So you might want to check it out. Get an account just to follow it. it's a lot of it's the stuff that I find the funniest, because sometimes you guys go into a little bit of comedy, especially when the captain's there.
Yeah, Sunday night is our silly night.
And then I try to, almost every time there's a caller, I try to put that up.
Nice.
So yeah.
So is there a bunch of Skeeter?
Actually, has he still been? I haven't heard him lately. He hasn't been calling every night, has he?
Probably not every night. I feel like he's only been calling on Thursdays for me for a long time. But he doesn't call as often. And sometimes if I have a bunch of options, I'll just go to everyone else before him.
I probably wouldn't put him on there if you're trying to keep followers.
He's here in the studio right now.
No, because
it's your boy.
Oh my god.
No, but actually, people hating and arguing is good for the algorithm.
I agree, actually. Especially when it's just so ridiculous.
I've been trying to, every time you guys talk about trend stuff, I try to put that up, because I think that's pretty, people like to argue about that. So.
True. That is a very divisive topic right now.
I appreciate your work on it so much. It is a lot of work. I tried doing that for a while, and it just wasn't for me. Like, you definitely have a knack for it, Jeremy. So I think that we should...
I find it a lot of fun. It means that I can listen to you guys and actually call it work. So, I find it fun.
Well, thanks so much. Is there anything else on your mind?
No, but I haven't been really following the TikTok ban stuff that much. So if you guys know anything more about that and want to talk about it without me, then obviously wherever you want to go. But that's a request of a topic.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, cool. Right, well, now, thank you for your service, Jeremy.
I don't think there's anything new on that front. As far as I know, the last time I read anything about that, it was going to go to Senate. And if it goes through Senate, then Joe Biden did say he will sign it. Do you know anything about this, the TikTok ban, Colin?
All I know is if both parties are on board for it, you know, that it's probably a horrible idea.
Yeah, right.
And they probably just want to take control of it, and so that they can use it to control what people are thinking.
Yeah,
rather than
China.
Yeah. I mean, they might complain like, oh, the Chinese are using it to do this or do that. But honestly, I think it'd be great if like every country was doing that and we all had like an average amount of like stuff we were getting from around the world so we didn't get one particular message.
Yeah, right. I mean, not that I want all the governments, and thank you so much for the call, Jeremy. Not that I want all the governments, they basically do that with like NPR, BBC, but you just never really, like, I could go right now and say like Mexican news and just listen to it. My ex-husband used to do that. And so that's obviously a thing could do, but I feel like people are just less interested if it's not their country.
Well, the issue is that it's spyware. Isn't that what people are worried about? Isn't that what
TikTok,
the concern is?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but yeah, I was just talking about the propaganda aspect, because a lot of people do also say like it's the Chinese trying to like brainwash our children.
Yeah, I only want American brainwashing for my children.
Yeah,
just so
be.
Dumb. You know what I mean? It's how about you just don't let your kids get brainwashed?
Yeah.
You know, like, think for yourself and stop letting Google and TikTok brainwash you.
I would seriously not let my kids have TikTok or even, like, Angry Birds. I play Angry Birds all the time when I'm like...
Wow, Bonnie, a little bit of a hypocrite there, eh?
I don't think so, because I use it to focus when I'm not, like, doing something, but I want to listen to something.
She uses it when she wants to be an angry bird.
Yeah. Stupid. Anyways, we do have a story tonight about how women are both happier and sadder than men.
That makes sense, because they're...
Why are you looking at me?
I just thought you'd find it annoying.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
Well, that makes sense, though, because women typically are known for having a wider range of emotions.
I agree. When Ian told me that...
Like, they're a little bit more emotionally intelligent, and I don't like making generalizations about the sexes just, like, so broadly like that.
Yeah.
But typically, like, that's the stereotype.
I think there's a biological reason behind it. And what's funny is Ian couldn't even... He thought it was people answering the surveys wrong. I was like, no, I totally believe... He was like, how could it be? It says that men or women are both sadder and happier than men. I was like, that totally makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you think about it, like, a lot of people, like, for example, if someone's on antidepressants, sometimes they'll just be very flat and in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so they're not
exactly
depressed anymore, yeah, but they also can't experience that, like, the same level of happiness,
yeah,
and
right,
excitement,
yeah,
that they used to be able to. It's, they're just, like, a little bit more in the middle, which is sometimes a good thing, sometimes a bad thing, I guess.
And also just, like, the whole like monthly cycle women have, like, I feel like there is at least one week where I am beyond everything's fine, everything's great, I could do whatever, and then there's just like one day during my period or like right before my period, and then one day during my period I'm like way more moody. I don't have the worst period in the world, thank God. Like, I used to think other people were just exaggerating about how bad their periods were for like attention or something, but now I think it's just like they're eating seed oils and it really is that bad.
Yeah, their hormones are horribly imbalanced.
Hmm.
And normally when women are talking about like PMS and really bad cramps, anything like that is a direct indication of imbalanced hormones. And normally, like, nowadays that's caused by either birth control, like hormonal birth control,
yeah,
or seed oils. Other, you know, unhealthy dietary and lifestyle habits can absolutely really jack up people's hormones.
You know, I wonder too, to what degree this changes over time. So like you saying that women are happier and sadder than men in general, I would believe that. And I would believe that across time. I wonder if this study, is it saying that it's more so now than it was in the past?
Hmm.
I have no idea. I haven't actually read the story. We could get into it though. So there's a woman named Emily Bobro.
Oh, wait, I already don't believe her with a name like that. No, just go ahead.
Emily Bobro for the Wall Street Journal. She says, I have a good job, a loving husband, healthy kids, and a comfortable home. I came late to it all, and I sometimes can't believe my luck that the sleep warm little bodies, I've never seen that
Can
before.
I just say how much I hate articles are written like this?
I was like, what?
Is there like a part where it says the info and you can just skip down to that part?
Yeah, but I just want to see her main point. And then I always skip like a whole lot because like if I read the whole thing, it would get annoying. But I want to get her point here. She says that the sleep warm little bodies I help dress in the morning are my own children. Wow. There's just this weird obsession with, like, they're my own children. Like,
my DNA.
Yeah, you'd be, like, upset if you adopted them.
That was a lot of words I dress my kids in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's saying, basically, that she is happy that she has a comfortable life and she should be happy. She has it all. And then she says, but the cliches about motherhood and aging and that ever-elusive work-life balance did not quite prepare me for the cliches of my life. Time slides by in a haze of emails that need answering, tushies that need wiping, and Cheerios-encrusted floors that need more than the feckless Swiffering they'll get. Nikki, one thing I think is that this lady, I just think that all people say this, and I just think you truly will be able to, like, have a baby and keep your house clean.
Thank you.
Bonnie's trolling you right now. She picked this article to read to you.
Everybody complains about it.
And it's not something I worry about, but it's funny that you say that because I'm in a lot of different moms groups. Mm. And someone was posting in there the other day in one of my groups saying that, like, how do you, like, genuinely, like, help? How do you guys keep your house clean? I'm trying to clean my house, and then immediately my kids destroy it. And I didn't want to comment on it because I don't have children yet. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it might be a little inappropriate for me to, like, give advice on something that I truly don't understand yet. But my initial reaction was, well, your kids should be helping you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when, like, they're toddlers, and I talk about this sometimes when kids are like 2 and 3 years old, they really, really want to help. They want to do what they see their parents
doing. I remember doing chores willingly when I was really young. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until it turned into a thing where it's like, okay, now do this while I leave.
Yeah, now it's mandatory.
And also like kind of like it's a punishment too. And then,
Well, I think a big issue is a lot of adults don't want 2 and 3 year olds helping. Because they either think that it's inappropriate, like, oh, I don't want them mopping the floor or whatever, like, oh, go play, you know, you're a little kid. But that's when they want, that is playing for
them. That's weird, yeah. That's
and so I think parents condition their kids when they're like 3, 4 years old, no, we don't want your help, we don't want your help, go play, your job is to play. But then all of a sudden when they're like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old and they're expected to do chores, then the parents are like, why don't you want to do this? And it's like, okay, well, they wanted to do it before and you told them not to. You're sending a lot of mixed signals here. So I think if we, you know, instill those responsibilities early, that would be helpful for keeping a clean house.
Yeah. I just see
you can always gamify that stuff too, you know?
Yeah.
Like the more you do that, the more you like, ooh, we just put another one away. Ooh, we just put another one away. Oh, look at how clean this is and how dirty it was before.
Me
you know,
and my
the more
siblings
you do it like that, the better it is.
Did that naturally ourselves. Like we would be sent, me and my sister who always shared a room, my older sister, we would always make our own games up. Like we'd be sent to go clean our room. So we'd be like, okay, want to play the blah, blah, blah game or this game? We'd choose our own imaginary cleanup game and pick from it and do that one. Like, no one told us to do it.
I also think it's doing your children a massive disservice to do everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So to not, because I know a lot of adults who genuinely don't know how to clean. They don't know how to even keep a space tidy or organized. They wouldn't understand when they're supposed to sweep or mop the floor because their mom or someone else did that for them their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was never
laundry
a responsibility.
A
like imagine
one.
Being an adult and not knowing how to do laundry, but like a lot of it's just like, well, mom, I fill up my laundry basket and mom does it.
Yeah.
And then they get their own apartment or go to college and have a dorm. And then they're like, what? They go to the laundromat and they're like, I have to use soap. And, you know, it's just so confusing.
Not only that, what happens too is because you're not like, I'll say, trained and experienced at doing it. It turns into a thing that then takes you like a whole day to do your laundry. When really it should be like.
And you're ruining your clothes.
Well, yeah, but it should just be like, you know, you throw it in and you get it running and then you go do the other thing and you do the other thing and you should be able to do it really fast because you've kind of been practicing it up to that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I've know some people where it's like, oh, I did just this one chore today, and I did just that one chore the next day. And I'm like, really? Like, I get all of those done in, like, just a couple of hours.
And it's not like I'm saying, like, everybody should feel guilty if they get behind because they have kids. I don't have kids, so I sound a lot like a bitch right now. But the thing is, I just witnessed this with lots of different subjects, not just having kids, not just cleaning, where people like to say, like, oh, no one could possibly do well at this. And they feel, they get so excited to be part of the group now. So, like, someone would be pregnant, they'd be like, I'm sure I can keep it clean. But then they're going to let it all go because they're stressed out or something. And then they get to go on Twitter and say, like, oh, my God, I used to think I would keep my house clean. Now it's like a swamp in here.
Well, people are addicted to being a victim.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
And it's very hard for a lot of people to take responsibility, full responsibility for their lives. And it's like, listen, you might not always have time to keep your house clean. And that's when, like, delegating tasks comes in. Like, there are ways, because for me, I mean, I'm not going to judge someone if their house is dirty. I like to keep my house very clean in a certain way. I'm a little particular. But I'm not going to judge someone if they didn't vacuum their carpet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that our environment are a direct reflection of our mind.
Right.
So if you're, like, very anxious and have a very cluttered and chaotic mind, your outside and your environment might also look that way. And I think it also, the opposite of that is true. Me personally, when my house is clean, I feel like my mental health is so much better.
Almost everybody does. Yeah. And actually, it's a bit of a chicken and egg thing. It's like, if the house isn't clean, then your mental space isn't right. But if your mental space isn't right, then your house isn't clean.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it turns into, where do you start? And it's like, well, you just have to start somewhere. So if you just, like, start cleaning the house a little bit, you'll feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Then that means you can clean a little more, and then you'll feel even better. And, you know, you want to get these virtuous cycles, virtuous spirals.
Well, I've watched a lot of Hoarders, too. For some reason, I don't know why. It's just one of those shows that I like.
Haven't seen it in a long time, but
I've
been in actual hoarders' homes. Like,
me too.
Not a lot of people will call people hoarders, and I'm like, no, that's not a hoarder. I've been in a hoarder's home.
Like, piling of, like, legitimate trash.
Yes,
and
like piles of magazines. And
that's the thing. I was just saying,
crazy story, too.
I know of is more just trash, but the hoarders I see on TV are usually, like, they like to keep the things.
Well, it goes both ways. There's the collectors, and then there are people who it's like, why do you have this mountain of dog food containers in the corner?
Yeah.
Throw it away.
Yeah, it's just trash.
But they can't, and I'm going to tell you, I've never seen an episode of Hoarders where the person is not in some way mentally ill or struggling in some way. Mm. They're never doing well.
Yeah. It's like, I feel so good when I, like, throw away, like, a whole bunch of clothes because the season has changed. And I'm like, do I really want this? No, I'm throwing it away. I throw a bunch of stuff away. That feels so much better to me in my mental head or mental space. I don't like to, like, hold on to a lot of things. I am a woman, so I'm sure I hold on to more things.
Too many
than, like,
pairs of shoes, I've noticed.
Men, but I still am really not that. Okay, I can't call myself a minimalist. I think about, like, right now I'm, like, going through what all the things I have are, and it's like my, like, hair and makeup and face care stuff is, like, kind of, I could throw a lot of
I feel
away.
Like Ian might be approaching a minimalist.
Definitely.
He has, like, a really good, I don't know, has a very healthy boundary with physical belongings.
Yeah, and he's taught me a lot because I always thought that I really wasn't that crazy about stuff, but I just was a lot worse before I met Ian.
Yeah.
With that. Like, oh, I just can't throw away this card someone gave me for my birthday.
Oh, I hate that stuff. I get so much of that stuff, and I just have to throw it out. And
I feel kind of bad, people, though, right?
You do, and then you realize it's like, look, the only time I look at these things is when I'm moving them around.
Yes.
And then it's like, okay, let me just throw all of these away, because none of them really, like, if they didn't mean something to me at the time, like, I think the only reason I hold on to them is because somebody told me I needed to hold on to them, like a parent or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nah, you know, I'd rather hold on to this other thing that the person gave me, an actual, you know, thing of importance that, you know, meant something.
Yeah, unless there's, like, a really long, heartfelt message in there, then I'm probably not going to keep it. Someone apologized to me the other day for not getting the chance to send a birthday card in the mail.
Hmm.
And I said, you know what? I probably... I didn't tell, like, outright tell them, like, I would have thrown that away. So, like, yeah, really don't even waste your time. But
I just can't imagine
if,
that.
If I,
because,
can,
like,
if I could bring the topic a little bit to
those?
Freedom, though, like, this not being able to have freedom from stuff and having to haul stuff around is a good way that, mm-hmm, you know, people can have control over you, because then you're not, like, as likely to move, yeah, and make a change in your life, because you're like, oh, I have all this stuff and to move it and things like that. You know, one of the things, I don't know if TJ's talked about it on the air before, but all
TJ the Spy?
Yeah, TJ the Spy is all the people at the NSA who had debt. And so they were earning like $250,000 a year. They'd be a really high-level GS. I don't know which number exactly. But they'd be making like $250,000 a year. But they would have a mortgage on their house. Mm-hmm. They'd have like a car they got. They have car payments. They'd be like sending their kids to like all sorts of like overpriced, like, you know, piano lessons or whatever. And they were living paycheck to paycheck. So when the government
Were living way beyond their means.
Yeah. Well, when the government would come in and say, hey, you know, we're going to like spy on the American people today, the person would be like, oh, if I quit, like, I'm going to lose the house and this, mm-hmm, and this, all within a couple of months. You know, so having this obsession with having the stuff really makes people very, very unfree. The ability to be to pick up and go and do your conscience, you know, that's the real thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people can fall into the trap where they're a slave of their physical belongings, but also a slave to their debt. It's like, well, you know, my mortgage is whatever, something, mm-hmm, ridiculous, like $5,000-$6,000 a month. So if you don't have a job, that's pulling in at least
and
enough
you have
to
pay
cover
it
your
every
mortgage.
Single month. And that's the whole thing about actually owning stuff and having savings. When you own the stuff, you can like not have a job for a year or two. You don't have to worry about the car disappearing. You just have to have the little bit of money you need to fill it up with, mm-hmm, gas. And then the same thing with food. But then that goes into having, you know, food supplies. Now, though, it kind of sounds like I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying you need things, but you need to not be attached to them. But you need to have stuff and not have,
the things run your life.
Like, be able to walk away from them, you know?
Everybody that I know that is how you're describing, like, oh, they make a good amount of money and they have all these things, but if you were to look at their, on the inside, they're actually full of debt. They're just getting the new version of everything when they don't need it.
Oh, that too,
like bigger TV when your TV was fine, and, like, all the people I know like that, they get every new iPhone and stuff like that.
Yeah, and also, no one needs to live in a multi-million-dollar house. If they want to, that's cool. But you can also get by on a lot less. And I mean, you know, everyone has, you know, they can choose whatever they want to do, but you will never be able to quit that job that you hate if you need to be pulling in millions of dollars a year.
603-283-6160. What makes you feel free? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Call in with whatever's on your mind.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. National Transportation Safety Board Chair Jennifer Homendy says her agents boarded the cargo ship that hit the Key Bridge in Baltimore to gather what she calls perishable evidence.
Our focus on scene is not to determine what happened, but to get everything we need, because once everything is cleared, we won't be able to get those things. So it's getting the evidence today.
The NTSB will be identifying who they want to interview based on the evidence retrieved on Wednesday. The White House has announced the rescheduling of a crucial meeting with Israeli officials in Washington. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said that the office of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has consented to move forward with discussions regarding a potential military operation in southern Gaza. The NCAA's unveiled plans to urge states to prohibit prop betting on college athletes. It said it will actively lobby state gaming boards to restrict prop betting. John Schaefer, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Cue the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. You can pay your bills with Dash at spritz.finance. Plus, they send dollars to your bank if you still need those for some reason. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and Nikki.
And let's just go straight to the phones. I'm pretty sure this is Skeeter. Skeeter, you're on Free Talk Live.
You know what makes your boy, the evolutionary capitalist, Papa Chon Chon, feel free?
I don't even know what you just asked me.
Constitutional rights and national defense. Hey, Nikki, Bonnie, you know what today is? It's our 6
Lady Gaga's birthday.
Anniversary.
Wait, is it really?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Lady Gaga.
It's our 6 month anniversary from when I first won our first debate, remember?
Why would I remember that? I thought that you've been going for like 500 years because it's so annoying.
Oh, I didn't think it was even that long.
I remember. I put it down in my calendar.
Did you ever resolve that dilemma I gave you, Bonnie? You know, the one that I got Mark and Ian to admit to, the fact that children don't have the same rights as adults. They don't own themselves.
Oh, sorry, Lady Gaga's birthday is tomorrow. I was like,
you guys believe in freedom and self-ownership, right?
Yeah, And obviously, children need their parents to keep them from running out in the road. And they don't know what's good for them yet when they're that young.
And
that's what the government says, though.
Right? That's exactly what I'm going to say, Colin. The same justification.
You know what else the government, says? That like people need air to breathe, and like the water is wet. Like those are some obvious things.
To even try to say that, like to compare a parent's love for their child to the government, like that is so dumb.
Did they even write that down somewhere?
Like, it's not that dumb. Because parents don't necessarily manage their children's lives effectively, even.
Children are property. I'm going to mute you. What do you guys think about that? I think children are honestly their parents' property.
I don't think that.
And I knew you didn't think that, but the more I think about it, the more it makes sense to me, because it's like there's like these ideas that people are like, oh, kids should be able to grow up and sue their parents if they got circumcised. I don't think
I think that's unfair. But I don't think necessarily. I mean, I don't even think we have to go so far as to say that they're property. In my opinion, I don't think children are property. I think children are human beings. I do think it is a parent's responsibility to keep their child safe, housed, fed, all of the things like that. When you create a human being, like it's your responsibility to see them into an adulthood in a non-abusive way. But I don't think that makes my children my property. They're my family. Yeah, just like Matt is my family.
Yeah, but he
like,
can control himself. They're my family. He won't just run into the road and kill himself.
But I don't think children do that.
And also, like, the government won't go to you and try to take Matt away from you, saying that you're unable to take care of him.
Yeah, my beliefs are that children kind of homestead their rights as they grow. So they'll start to assert themselves and say, this is my right to do this or to not do that. And then
they show themselves that they can.
They show the parents that too.
But
at the same time, kid might say, well, I don't need you. And then the parent will be like, back in the day, this is how it actually go down. You know, if you imagine like, the Wild West, the kid might be like, I don't need you. And he's like, okay, then get the heck off of my property.
He'd come back and be like,
okay, I still need you for now.
That's a good lesson for the child. I think that
then it becomes more like an agreement and a contract at that point,
I guess so. In regards to children, because obviously, like, as they grow up and develop and age and mature, it's, like, the amount of freedom that a child gets directly corresponds to the amount of responsibility that they can take. So as children show that they have the maturity to be able to take care of certain things, like then kids can kind of have that freedom. But
yeah,
I don't
when
know,
that happens,
it's
like,
tough.
That's when they're no longer property. In my opinion, when I think back to myself
that,
as a...
Though?
No, just when they prove it. There's not a one age for each person. It's just like once they can...
Well,
once
I
you can assert your... let me just finish my sentence.
Either, because
once
property implies you can sell them.
Yeah, you should be able to. You absolutely should. You should be able to say, I don't want to raise these kids anymore, so do you want to adopt them?
Didn't you say you're Ian's property? Can he sell you?
No, I'm not Ian's property because I can assert my rights. I can take care of myself. I just want to finish the thought really fast. So when I think back to myself as a six-year-old, it doesn't bother me to think I was my parents' property. They were taking care of me. They've spent all the money. The only thing they asked of me was like, oh, put the dry dishes away and then go play all day. Like if your parents are abusive, well, that's absolutely awful. But other adults should come into the situation. It doesn't really change the situation to me. Like if you are beating a dog, I think somebody should be able to take your property from you. But my dog's my property.
Yeah, I guess I just don't agree with referring to human beings as property. Like,
I think,
it feels like
it's
a
just
slavery
like
thing to me.
I used to think the same thing, and now I think that's just an emotional thing.
Yeah. Also, the other thing with, like, when I asked you, I'm trying to remember, like, verbatim what I said. Like, when they're able to, like, when that line is when they're not property anymore, it gets very complicated because what they're learning and like as they're able to take responsibilities, like it's not like a flat date where it's like, okay, like, wow, you know, I like woke up one day and realized like my kid is like really responsible and mature, and now, you know, it's like that line is really fuzzy, and I understand like way. It's going to be different for every kid, but it's like it's just hard for me to envision like at what point, like what is the actual criteria.
I think you would just realize that as you're an adult. I think that's exactly what happened to me as a child. One day, it just became obvious. Like, there becomes a point where I could have just ran away and taken care of myself, but I didn't because I appreciated the stuff my parents were giving me. And
you're not allowed to do that. Like,
yeah,
if you try running away, the government will take you back to your parents and force you to be with them, you know.
That's because they think you're their property.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I do think the 18-year-old cutoff is really dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it still technically exists, but try finding a judge or a court to do it. Emancipation of a minor, where you go before a court and you say, hey, I am basically my own adult, and you have to kind of prove it to them, like, oh, well, I have a job and have that. But, of course, you know, the government's kind of made that impossible, too, by doing things like having laws, you can't hire somebody below this age, unless da-da-da-da-da, all those sorts of things. So it's impossible for an actual responsible kid. And oftentimes, there's kids that are more responsible than their parents.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I've seen it so many times. Yeah.
And it is kind of crazy because I'm thinking of, I was just thinking of the circumstances where people usually would get emancipated. So either if they're like a child celebrity and their parents are like stealing their money or whatever, that like I sometimes those people would try to get emancipated. But also, if somebody gets pregnant when they're like 15 or 16 and then has their own child, then those people would also kind of try to get emancipated some of the times because technically they're still children, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then it gets really weird because now we have children having children. How can you think that someone is still a child if they're able to have their own children?
It's crazy.
And are expected to raise that
child. But tons of people will argue this with you, like especially like on Twitter. Just almost everyone on this planet, at least in America. So almost everyone in this country thinks, oh, like a 17-year-old, that's a child. I saw somebody talking just yesterday. They were saying, my mom was 17 when she met my dad, and my dad was 25. Like that was, and she said, like, she was joking that she should call the police about that.
Yeah, it's just so dumb. I mean, there's 22 years in between me and my husband.
And I just think
for some reason that's okay because I was whatever 20, however old I was.
But if you were 17 when you met him, that's fine too, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I dated another guy in his 40s when I was 19.
Yeah, when I was 19.
So how come? Oh, because
30s.
Because there's
and I was way more mature than
19 and not 17. Yeah. I mean, it is kind of ridiculous.
I had to take care of that guy because he would get so drunk. I'd have to carry him up the stairs and stuff, not carry with all his strength, but help him. And he was way less mature than me. So, but I mean, 19, I guess lots of people won't argue, but actually some people will. I saw this lady on Twitter saying, like, honestly, anyone who thinks that it's fine to date a 20-year-old and you're older than them is like, have fun with that. They don't have their prefrontal cortex fully developed. It's like,
and I think that's so stupid as well, because I don't think what is the date? It's like 21 years old or 23 or something. Mm-hmm. Really, the second I turned 21 years old, all of a sudden my frontal cortex is developed.
Men is 25.
It depends because, you know, like she's saying, like, oh, it doesn't just switch off one day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really doesn't truly stop.
I'm just
until
telling you
like
what they
30
say.
Or
I also
32.
Disagree.
Probably.
So it's probably something like, oh, it's done 80% or 85 or whatever by the time you're at 25 or whatever that number is.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly what I argued with that girl. Plus, like, there's all these, like, 35-year-old women who have made it there. Like, it is like their crusade that they will go on like Twitter or whatever and talk about 20-year-olds are just, you shouldn't be dating 20-year-olds, and try to shame men for wanting to date a 20-year-old because they messed up and now they're 35 and they can't find anybody that likes them because they just...
Well, it doesn't even have to be
so
like that,
sad.
Though.
And then they become happy later when they're drinking the wine box, you know, with the...
Yeah.
So that's why they have the highs and the lows.
Yeah,
know?
We're talking about this story from Wall Street Journal that women are both happier and sadder than men. But what were you going to say? Like, it is kind of mean the way I'm saying it, but I do get this vibe.
I just don't think it's always like that.
Like what?
I think I think, in even just like kind of historically speaking, it's natural for older men to date younger women. I know it's very different in today's world because
I would word that
changed.
The other way around. It's natural for younger women to date older men. Like, it's not just an attraction in the one way. I see the attraction going the other way all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I agree.
But when you think about it, so say 200 years ago, before you were going to get a wife, you needed money, you needed property, you needed to have your ducks in a row before you could have a wife and a child, and like that was kind of the man's responsibility. Of course, in the modern world, women work, women buy houses without a man, like that's not, things have changed
a
lot.
It was a lot different back then, too.
Yeah.
Like, we can't properly call what we have had in the West for the past, like, 200 to 300 or 400 years arranged marriages, but it was somewhat like that, in which the families were involved in saying yes and no and approving and disapproving.
You're like asking your dad for...
People still do that, the hand in marriage thing.
Yeah, I hate that.
Well, that's more of a ceremonial thing than anything else.
Yeah,
but that's where it came from.
But it wasn't just like, I mean, it might be there might be one family member who's in charge of saying yes or no, and that might be like the father. But it was like all of the family was interested in it because they were interested in the well-being of that individual,
absolutely.
Right? But sometimes they would just be like, well, I guess in this one's case, like, she might as well get with this guy who's like 12 years older because at least everything's set up, you know, for him.
Yeah.
I think most of the cases would probably be like that because I just like, I've never been, when I was in high school, I thought I didn't like boys. Not that I thought I liked girls. I just like was like, I guess
not interested.
One day maybe I'll think things like that, but it's just that I didn't like freaking high school boys.
Yeah. They're just immature. They're not ready. And I think everyone matures at a different age. So there's that. But I felt the same way where I'm not really interested in guys my age because they're not ready.
Yeah.
They're not ready to get married and have children and do all of the things that I'm ready to do.
They play too many video games.
Play way too many video games. They don't have time. Do you know what I mean?
I've only ever had one boyfriend that had like a video game addiction ever. And that's like a never, ever again. Like if Ian were to die and I were to start dating again, I would never, ever, ever date anyone with a video game addiction. It's like the least attractive thing for women, in my opinion. And that's what I've heard from other women too. But somehow it's just like perpetuated. You know what I think is really terrible is like people giving their little boys video games at like, and they have it in their room, like the PS2 kind or PS4, whatever they're at.
Yeah.
Like the kinds
I will say this, a lot of the young people are, this is kind of contrary to what some of the other people on the show have said, like Jay and all of that, but a lot of the younger boys play video games where they're group games. So they are still like interacting with other people in a way, even though it's a very artificial way, but they still have to talk with them and you know, negotiate and say what they're going to do and whatever. And you know, there's rules to it, not the rules of the game, but rules of how they're going to conduct themselves with the other ones. Cause they might kick them out of the group if they're like too rude or something.
I think that's a valuable point. I think it's, I personally am not interested in video games, so that's why I'm fine with just being like, yeah, they suck, whatever. But like anything, you know, there's nuance to it.
Because when I was a kid, all the video games, you'd either have to get all of the other kids there and play it in multiplayer mode, or you were just like basically played it alone.
Yeah.
And so that was a lot worse in some ways.
I guess that does make it slightly better because the reason that like masturbating is worse for men than it is for women is because men get completely drained of like their drive
their vital
to
essences.
No,
their precious bodily fluids.
I only drink
rainwater and grain alcohol.
Their
people.
Ability to want to go out and do, and that's what men are literally for. And women like they can masturbate and have just the same amount of want to go do as before because we're just
wired differently.
I've
never heard of this. I'm going to have to look into that. That's interesting.
I was specifically looking into it recently because I've always wondered, why do people say masturbating is bad for men but sex is good for men? And the reason is because like your hormones and their hormones do things together that are helpful. If you're just like...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. If you're just shooting off and you're all alone.
Well, it's like the difference between just eating food and then like going and hunting for it. Like, there's the whole process that goes involved in doing all the things and getting ready and going out there.
It's more like somebody just putting food directly in your mouth.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the thing. And so it destroys motivation, because why go out and do the thing when you could just, you know, order the food, or in this case, order the sexual experience.
But that's why I think video games are so much more bad for boys, because the thing is, like, I literally play Angry Birds every single day, but whenever I have something important to do, I just don't. Like, I do it to listen to my podcast. If anything, I'm, like, more addicted to listening to podcasts and stuff than the Angry Birds, but, like...
Yeah, I feel like what you're describing would be, like, the same thing as if you were, like, knitting or crocheting. You're just doing something to keep your hands busy, kind of.
Could I suggest a better way to listen to do it?
Well, listen, like, I don't really actually want you to suggest that to me, because I think to myself, I could be doing something...
No, anybody who's listening to the show, it's not just you. There's, like, you know, there's millions of listeners right now.
I could be doing something more productive, but sometimes I actually want to not be doing anything. And there's nothing wrong with just not doing anything for a second. But it's not going to mess up my brain chemistry to where I'm literally a bitch man who does stupid things all day. Like, it really will do that to men. I'm sorry that it's not fair.
What, podcasts?
No, video games. Video games.
No, I was
saying it depends on the podcast.
Yeah. I would say with the podcast thing, like, you could try, like, taking notes and then revisiting topics later and, like, doing a little bit of research to see what the person said. Or you could actually just be, like, drawing, you know, things and
but
then
I'm
you're, like,
thinking
getting
about
good
it
at
the
drawing
whole time.
Or something.
I've never been someone who needed to take notes.
I don't know that you could be thinking if you're doing Angry Birds. Like, that seems
but that's
like
the thing.
That...
You don't need to think. I'm literally sitting there contemplating and thinking.
Well, that's why I compared it to crocheting or knitting, because that's another... It's like a more like muscle memory.
Exactly.
Where you're not really like focusing on something. You're just...
There aren't like words on the screen that I have to read. There aren't like math questions you have to do. I know how to... do the game at this point. I'm not in a learning phase. It's basically just like your
second
subconscious.
Nature almost.
Yeah, yeah. I just mean it seems like an unproductive thing to do.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. I don't want you to tell me to do it, because I'm
productive
all freaking day.
Well, but you
sometimes
could be
I
more
want to
productive.
Be unproductive.
Well, you're not being unproductive because you're listening to a podcast.
And that's exactly what I think too. And plus, I'm also usually doing it at a time when I'm doing something like drinking coffee, which for Ian isn't an excuse to stop working. But for me, it's an excuse to stop working until I'm done with my coffee and then I stop.
Yeah, I don't think it's a negative thing necessarily.
Thank you, Nikki.
But because when I listen to podcasts, I'm either driving or folding laundry or cleaning the floor or doing dishes. You know, I'm like doing household tasks.
Yeah, I do that as
well. So it's kind of like the same, right?
Yeah.
I guess you could argue that I'm being more productive. But whatever.
Yeah. But I do the same
thing also. That listening to a podcast or an audiobook while I'm doing, like, that really gives me the strength I need to fold laundry.
And you wouldn't say to her that she's not listening because she's folding laundry. It's the same exact thing. Because
I think specifically that kind of game, it's meant to kind of challenge you in a way. Like, there's points and you have to,
I think it's just as challenging as folding laundry. I mean, I do both.
Wait,
both.
Folding laundry, is that hard for you?
No.
But Angry Birds also isn't, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's not hard.
Yeah, no, I want to twist it the other way.
I know you do. Well, I think that this survey should have also counted anger. Are women both sadder and happier and more angry than men? Because Colin's always trying to make me angry.
I don't know. Men can get pretty angry.
That's true. Honestly, I don't know what the answer to that question would be, and I wonder if it covers it in here.
You know what? I just to kind of speculate on, or I guess give my opinion, I don't know if the article goes into this, I think that women have a wider range of emotions, but I think they're also,
it's just
because
like
of
women
that,
in colors, there's like, oh no, this is baby blue, and this is aqua blue, and that's teal.
No, I'm not that kind of woman.
No, are you sure? That's
no,
not the same
I'm
thing.
No, I'm not. I'm not the shades.
You can't see them, or you just don't
righteous anger,
care about
this
name.
One is a furious anger.
I can see the shades, but I'm bad with caring about them. You know what I mean?
See.
Or like labeling them. Matt, actually, in our relationship, he's better with that.
Ian's
so
like
he's
colorblind. Seriously, colorblind.
And colorblindness is actually more common in men.
Yes.
But what I was going to say was, I think women have a wider range of emotions, but they're also a little bit more like emotionally intelligent typically, where they can process them. Whereas men have been told, or typically a lot of the times men are told, no, don't cry. Crying's not for boys. Keep it bottled in. Like, nobody care. Like, it seems like people don't care as much about a man's feelings. and then they don't learn how to process them appropriately. So then sometimes you'll get men with like those really like explosive tempers, or they just can't, they can't figure out how to like in a healthy way express themselves. So then it kind of just translates into like something negative.
Not to say that what you said is wrong, but I will say that I do think in general men actually just aren't as emotional in general. So obviously there's a bell curve
probably.
To it. And so there's some of them who are on the edge of the bell curve who might need to be, I don't know what the right word is, but I think for most
coddled.
Of them actually, you know, like being like, yeah, you don't need to be complaining about this. And then you think about it for a second, like, yeah, I guess I really don't need to.
Yeah. Actually, no, and like I do think that's correct as well. I think men typically aren't as emotional. But I think I see sometimes with men where I can see a man like not a, like appropriately processing
but
his emotions. And then
that
it
has to do with like the hormones and then growing up with those hormones your whole entire life, because that structures the way your brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we would agree that a lot of the men these days are like not very, you know, stoic and not able to control themselves.
Yeah,
all
I was just
that.
Talking with Riley about this, because like people who are driving and getting all mad about it and stuff like that. I was trying to explain to him what just happened in the road and how this man got all. I was just like thinking and trying to explain to Riley, like, I just hate that breed of bitch ass man, the type of man that will get all screaming because of a very almost in inconsequential thing that's happening while driving, because it's so not manly. And it is, I bet it's like kind of new.
Well, it's low testosterone.
I bet it is. Yeah.
And there are men in general, a lot of men have a lower level of testosterone than they did 20 years ago. Because of all the birth control and the water and the soy everywhere and like the seed oils, like all of this stuff. You know, earlier in the show, I mentioned how a lot of women's hormones are really jacked up because of all those things. Men, too.
You know, I wish I could remember the exact numbers, but there is, at least not speaking to the testosterone part, but speaking to the sperm count part, a serious decline. I think it's something like, you know, our grandfathers had like 8 or 16 million per liter or milliliter, but now it's like 2.
603-283-6160. What do you think about that? Are you happier and sadder than all the men in your life? Or if you're a man, do you need to be coddled more? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Call in with whatever you want. 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.